Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, hundreds of protesters demand the release of a college student facing deportation. The U.S. Justice Department cancels grants to Georgia organizations related to crime prevention and victim services. And state leaders push more Georgia high schools to add girls' flag football.
It's amazing that girls are getting the chance to really showcase their talents as much as, you know, the boys are, because I feel like girls' teams are overlooked.
Today is Thursday, May 15th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Hundreds of protesters gathered in northwest Georgia's Dalton last night to demand the release of a Georgia college student who faces deportation, despite being mistakenly arrested during a traffic stop. Ximena Arias Cristobal is being held at an Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention center in South Georgia. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Although the charges from Dalton police against 19-year-old Ximena Arias Cristobal were dropped on Monday, police maintain that she should not have been driving without a valid license. Hannah Jones says in the years that Arias Cristobal drove her kids around during babysitting gigs, she never worried.
And she thought she was perfectly safe in that regard.
But now a ramping up of immigration enforcement across the country has put anyone without legal U.S. status, even if they have no easy way to obtain it, at risk and on high alert. That includes Dalton's large immigrant population, Jones says.
And it'll be interesting to see how leaders either step up or remain silent.
In elections, Whitfield County skews conservative. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, whose district covers this corner of northwest Georgia, said in a statement that she's, quote, grateful for the federal government's enforcement of immigration law. Among the couple hundred people who protested outside Greene's office Wednesday was Ximena's mom, Daita Cristobal. She says a judge recently ruled her husband can be released from ICE detention.
Y pues un miembro más regresa a casa, pero mi hija.
One more family member returns home, but we are still waiting for Ximena, she says. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis in Dalton.
Governor Brian Kemp has met yesterday's deadline to sign or veto legislation. One of the bills he signed could pave the way for President Trump to recoup his legal costs in the Fulton County election case. He also signed legislation to require police agencies to accept a digital version of Georgia driver's licenses. Among his vetoes, he nixed a bill that would have changed how Metro Atlanta's Rockdale County elects a county chair. The veto protects the current chair, Janice Van Ness, a Republican who turned Democrat to win in a heavily Democratic county. Among the business-related bills that he signed on the last day possible, one strictly regulates companies that boot cars in private parking lots. On Tuesday, he signed a bill expanding the state's child care tax credit. Student activists want the University System of Georgia to divest from groups or businesses connected to the war in Gaza. Today, in an unusual appearance, they spoke to the system's Board of Regents. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
Several student groups submitted a written request to appear before USG Chancellor Sonny Perdue to address the topic of divestment. Renee Al-Nubani is a student at Georgia Tech. She pointed to the destruction of educational infrastructure, the blockade of aid, and the loss of human life as a justification to end financial investments in defense companies tied to the war.
In 1986, the USG Board of Regents voted to divest completely from all companies operating in South Africa. The USG has shown us that it can stand up for truth and justice, even when it's difficult.
Calls for increased transparency in USG investments have been featured in campus protests around the state since the war in Gaza began in October of 2023. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
The U.S. Justice Department is canceling $3 million in grants to Georgia organizations working on crime prevention and victim services. Cancellations sent to four Georgia groups were among hundreds nationally, all totaling more than $800 million in budget savings. Norcross Democratic State Representative Marvin Lim administers one of the grants through the nonprofit he runs, the Lucky Shoals Community Association.
It's a little bit puzzling to me because these are great groups that are intending to help not just certain groups, but entire neighborhoods or entire regions with crime prevention. It feels like it's consistent with what the administration is doing.
Three of the four affected organizations had grants referencing hate crimes or inequality. The fourth targeted youth at risk for joining gangs. All were in Metro Atlanta. Georgia Senate Majority Leader Steve Gooch is running for lieutenant governor next year. The Dahlonega Republican announced his candidacy today, describing himself as, quote, unapologetically pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, and pro-school choice. Gooch is joining what's expected to be a crowded field of candidates looking to succeed Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones, who's seen as likely to vacate the post to run for governor. Sandy Springs Democratic State Senator Josh McLaurin announced his bid last week. At least two others have filed paperwork to raise funds for a campaign. Former Georgia U.S. Senator and business executive David Perdue has arrived in Beijing to serve as the new U.S. ambassador to China. His arrival today comes just days after China and the U.S. agreed to a temporary break in their damaging tariff war. A Georgia hospital is using a breathing tube and other measures to keep a brain-dead woman's body functioning because she's pregnant. Her family members say they should have had the option to stop the life support devices, but they say doctors at Emory University Hospital have told them state law removes that choice. Georgia bans abortion in most cases after cardiac activity is detected, usually around 6 weeks into a pregnancy. Georgia saw a 22% decrease in overdose deaths from 2023 to 2024. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released data yesterday reporting just under 2,000 overdose deaths in the state last year. Georgia's rate of decline is similar to and part of the nation's largest one-year drop ever recorded, 27%. Experts say the declines are likely driven by the increased availability of overdose-reversing drugs, expanded addiction treatment, and shifts in how people use drugs. State leaders want more Georgia high schools to add a sport that's growing in popularity, girls flag football. GPB's Sarah Callis reports on a renewed push today by state lawmakers, the Georgia High School Association, and a nonprofit affiliated with the Atlanta Falcons.
Lawmakers presented a House resolution adopted this year that encourages schools to start flag football programs for girls. The resolution is the first of its kind in the country. Layla Essex plays flag football at Lithia Springs High School.
It's amazing that girls are getting the chance to really showcase their talents as much as, you know, the boys are, because I feel like girls' teams are overlooked. So I'm just really glad that we have this opportunity to showcase our talents. It means a lot to me.
267 high schools around the state have established women's flag football programs, and the Arthur Blank Foundation has given $2 million this year in grants to many Georgia schools to establish programs. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
The beloved PBS program Antiques Roadshow traveled to Savannah last month, setting up shop for a full day of filming in the hostess city. The episodes won't air until next year during Roadshow's 30th anniversary season, but you don't need to wait for a behind-the-scenes look at how the show is made. For that, GPB's Benjamin Payne visited the pop-up set in downtown Savannah, and he has this story.
If you've ever watched an episode of Antiques Roadshow, you probably recognize this sound. It plays after the big reveal of a hefty appraisal when an expert on, say, creepy old dolls tells a guest that theirs is worth way more than the few bucks they got it for at a garage sale. But behind the scenes, there's a lot leading up to that moment.
I'm Stephanie. I just need to see your things so I can make sure you get to the right expert.
It starts at a tent labeled Triage, the port of entry for every guest lucky enough to score a ticket to the taping. It's here that volunteers sort each and every item into one of more than 20 categories.
Okay, so you have collectibles. Your binoculars will go to collectibles.
Okay.
This will go to glass. And then there's a little map here to just orient you.
The map comes in handy here at the Georgia State Railroad Museum, a sprawling outdoor venue in downtown Savannah that houses an antebellum train repair shop. Next to the shop's old 12-story smokestack is Tent B, the home base for glass. Like this vase brought by Kathleen from South Carolina. Following Antiques Roadshow's privacy policy for guests, we're not mentioning her last name.
It's interesting to talk to other people that are here with their things, but I recognize a lot of the folks from TV.
Folks like Amanda Everark, who's standing on the opposite side of the table. She runs an auction house in Savannah and has been giving appraisals on Antiques Roadshow for over 10 years.
Can you tell me about your piece? Where did you get it?
I don't know a lot about it. It was always sat on my grandmother's coffee table. I had it appraised about 30 years ago at a local event, and they told me at the time it was between $2,500 and $3,000.
Get the magnifier.
Everard pulls out her magnifying glass, giving the vase her expert eye.
All right, so this is probably French.
Oh, really?
And it's lovely green glass, and it's got sterling overlay on it in this wonderful Art Nouveau patterning to it with the flowers and all the scroll work. I think in today's market, it's probably not quite as expensive. Today, you're probably looking around $400 to $600.
Oh, really? So, that much difference? Wow. Well, that's disappointing. That's okay.
Not exactly the news Kathleen was hoping to hear. But over at the textile tent, it's a different story.
My name is June. I live in Roswell, Georgia.
My name is Becky, and I'm in Albany, Georgia.
Most guests carry their items to Antiques Roadshow, but these twin sisters decided to wear theirs.
This is my first Delta flight attendant uniform from 1973 in hers.
Mine is from 1975 with Eastern Airlines, but the hat and the jacket are 1991.
June and Becky have been retired for years now, but they've kept their outfits in pristine condition, and it paid off in their appraisal. I caught up with them afterward.
Mine was around $1,000 because I have different pieces from different eras. Hers was $1,500.
$1,500 because it's a complete set.
Yes.
More than they were expecting. But even so, the sisters say their uniforms are going back into the closet.
We'll hold on to them.
Because so many things, they're valued at whatever, but they mean more to you than what the money is.
Yes.
So, you know, sentimental. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if our kids could fit in it. Anyway.
June and Becky were among the select few guests whose appraisals were deemed high enough to be filmed by the show's producers. In fact, of the more than 2,000 people who showed up to this taping, only about 100 made it on camera. Marcia Bemko is executive producer of Antiques Roadshow. She says that's pretty typical for tapings, but it gets at the heart of the show.
It's all about the people who are coming here today. For most of them who are coming today, they're not going to be shot. They're not going to be interviewed that way. They're going to find out that they own something worth $50, $100.
But she says they'll have learned something about their prized possession beyond merely the price. And
they'll have chatted with people in line inevitably. And having that shared experience, our shared humanity, is really special and should be treasured forever and ever.
For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne at the Antiques Roadshow set in Savannah.
In sports, the Atlanta Braves beat the Washington Nationals 5-2 this afternoon to wrap up the four-game series. A.J. Smith-Shawver threw six innings, giving up two hits and no runs while striking out six. The Braves now head to Boston for a three-game series against the Red Sox. Their next home game is May 23rd against San Diego. The Atlanta Dream announced today that they have finalized their 2025 regular season roster featuring 11 players. Off-season acquisitions include 10-time WNBA star Brittany Griner, 3-time All-Star Breonna Jones, and 6th Player of the Year runner-up Shatori Walker-Kimbrough. Returning are All-Stars Ryan Howard and Alicia Gray. The Dream's home opener is scheduled for May 22nd against the Indiana Fever. In Major League Soccer, last night's match between Atlanta United and Austin ended in a 1-1 draw, and the Atlanta Falcons released their 2025 schedule today. They will kick off the season on September 7th at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that's it. Thanks for tuning in. We do appreciate you choosing us, and we hope you'll choose us tomorrow, too. Best way to remember to listen in is to subscribe to this podcast, and you can check out the latest headlines anytime at gpb.org/news. Your feedback powers this podcast, and we love hearing from you. Send an email to us. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. We truly love your love letters and your letters with feedback, and it goes to the whole team when you send it to us. Again, georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.